Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice. The world's only 12-hour strong man on the air. Here on We Love Radio 108 FM. The last on your dial, but first in your heart. And that's the truth, group. Here I am. Am I here? You know it. It, you know. This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy doing the nasty to your ears. Your ears to the nasty. Eyes only play the platters that matter. The matters they platter. And that's the Taruk Root.
From the heart of Bed-Stuy, you're listening to We Love Radio.
Doing the yin and the yang, the hip and the hop, the stupid fresh thing, the flippity flop. Oh! I have today's forecast for you. Hot! The color for today is black. That's right, black, so you can absorb some of these rays and save that heat for winter. So you want to get on out there, wear that black, and be involved. Also, today's temperature is going to rise up over 100 degrees, so that's a Jerry Curl alert. That's right, Jerry Curl alert. If you have a Jerry Curl, stay in the house, or you'll end up with a permanent plastic helmet on your head forever.
Hello, I'm Neil Allen from Hudson, New York. You're listening to WGXE Acra 90.7 FM.
Did you know that Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM has its own app? The Wave Farm Radio app, available for both iOS and Android, allows users to listen to live audio from any of the Wave Farm web streams, including WGXC 90.7 FM, Standing Wave Radio, the installations in the Wave Farm Art Park, and other partner streams. And you can also find us on the Bloomberg Connects app, where you can explore the Wave Farm Art Park installations and the Pomotsitok Wak Kulistok, an indigenous sound walk. Plan your visit and learn more about what Wave Farm has to offer at wavefarm.org.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative and cinematic experiences. Presenting The Witching Hour, a series that pays tribute to the special hour of night that welcomes the alluring and terrifying. This month, playing Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Us, and The Hills Have Eyes, every Wednesday night. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Jenny, and I'm here to tell you about what's playing in the movie theaters this week in the beautiful Hudson Valley. Starting with the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. This week, the week of July 22nd, we have Superman, The Smurfs, and Jurassic World Rebirth. And if you're interested in more information about any of those movies or their showtimes, you can find out more at WyndhamTheater.com. Heading across the river to Hudson at Story Screen Cinema, which is the three-screen theater on Fairview Avenue near the Burger King, we have Eddington, Jurassic World Rebirth, Sorry Baby, Superman, and The Fantastic Four First Steps, as well as some repertory screenings, including The Burning, on July 29th, which we talked about in our last episode, so just something to think about. Wet Hot American Summer on July 31st, and Flow on August 2nd. And you can find out more information about these movies or their showtimes at storyscreenpresents.com. Staying in Hudson, at the Spotlight Theater, otherwise known as the Hudson Movieplex, the 8-screen cinema on Fairview Avenue, we have Fantastic Four First Steps, Eddington, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Smurfs, Superman, Jurassic World Rebirth, F1, Elio, How to Train Your Dragon, and Shrek 2. And if you're interested in any of those movies and their showtimes, you can find out more information at spotlighttheater.com and just make sure you select Hudson from the drop-down menu. For our last theater in Hudson, we have TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. This week, we have The Big Sleep, Drop Dead City, The Last Class, Sex, and In the Mood for Love. If you're interested in any of those movies or any of their showtimes or any of the other information about what's happening over at TSL, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org. Now, let's head back across the river to talk about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie. It's a 4-screen drive-in, and each screen plays a double feature. So for this week, up through Thursday, July 24th, on screen 1, we have Superman and F1. Screen 2 is Jurassic World Rebirth and How to Train Your Dragon. Screen 3 is I Know What You Did Last Summer and 28 Years Later. And screen 4 is Smurfs and Elio. To find out more information and to find out the updated showtimes for this upcoming weekend, you can find out more at highwaydriveinny.com. That's highwaydriveinny.com. Last but not least, let's talk about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. This week, we have Fellini's 8½, Oh, Hi, Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, Sorry, Baby, The True Cost, The Uninvited, 2,000 Meters to Andreevka, close-up with director Mstislav Chernov, Mother the Architect, close-up with director Yael Melamed, and Spy Kids. Heading back across the river to the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Saugerties, we have Lucy Sante and Joe Hagen, which is a listening party, Together, Eddington, Louis Alt's Eye for an Eye, staged reading by Round the Bend Theater, Heavy Metal Parking Lot, close-up with director Jeff Krillick and John Hine, The Hills Have Eyes, the original it looks like, Garland Jeffries, The King of In-Between, close-up with director Claire Jeffries, Spy Kids again, Superman, and Midsommar. If you're interested in any of these movies, their showtimes, or just more information, you can find out more at upstatefilms.org. All right, and now I'm going to hand it over to Jenny and Amanda from the past. You're about to listen to a rerun of an old episode. I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that you have a wonderful summer evening out there, wherever in the world you are. We will see you in 2 weeks with some more movies. All right, see you later.
Wow.
So many movies.
Wow.
The
so
summer
many
season
movies.
Is upon us.
Well, speaking of, what a great transition into our theme, Jenny.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Our theme tonight is Life's a Beach. You can guess what kind of movies those are. Beach movies.
I mean, okay, so I have to say, the movies that I watched, I only watched two. And I did thematically link them. And the theme wasn't necessarily like the going to the beach itself, mm-hmm. but more the dream of the beach.
I think that's perfect because, I mean, I like when we choose themes that are open to interpretation in that way. And yeah, for me, this was definitely not vacation movies,
oh,
which
no.
we've done before. This was like the beach vibe.
Yeah, totally. Life's a beach. If you really think about it.
A beach.
They say life's a beach.
Yeah, sure is. I'll tell you about the first. Well, okay. Technically, the first one I watched is a straight-to-video movie that I grew up with called Magic Island. Do you remember? Okay, so I think there's a lot of people of our generation who vaguely remember this movie because there's a part in it. It's a movie for children. There's a part in it where there's a pizza tree and like sand sharks circling the pizza tree, like sharks in the sand. It's from 1995.
A great year.
I started out with that, just a little aperitif. And it's, you know, it's a made for video movie, but it was anyways. I don't want to waste too much time on the Magic Island.
Can you repeat the name of the movie again for me?
It's Magic Island.
Magic Island. Got it.
You know, a boy, a classic 90s boy who just likes his video games and not listening to his mom. And it does have a very classic, like, magical black person in it, which is of the time. His Caribbean nanny is like, listen, how about you read this book? It's been in my family for a long time. Just see what you think. And he's like, books. But he gets sucked into the book and goes on like a great swashbuckling adventure.
Nice. That sounds great.
But what I really want to talk about is a little movie called Club Paradise from 1986. This was recommended to me by someone for this theme. And it's a classic 80s comedy. This is the kind of movie that if my parents were aware of it, we would have watched in the household. It's very, like, kind of family movie. There's some sex jokes, but not that much. It's pretty tame.
A Captain Ron type, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. But Captain Ron is way better. It stars Robin Williams as a retired Chicago firefighter who, once he retires, and he gets, like, on his last job, he gets really hurt. So he has all this extra pay from his injury. And he decides to just move on down to the tropics. He's done with it. So he moves to an unspecified small island community in the Caribbean. Becomes like, you know, gets to know everyone who lives there in the local community. And becomes a favored local himself. And it also stars Jimmy Cliff, the musician of Harder They Come fame. And he and Jimmy Cliff are buds, and Jimmy Cliff owns a kind of ramshackle motel on the beach, but it's a beautiful beach called Club Paradise. And like a lot of classic like 80s ski movies, it's about saving the resort from the man.
Of course.
Because the kind of like mayor of the island wants to sell it off essentially in its entirety to like foreign investors. And it tries to bite off more than it can chew with like talking about like colonialism and like revolution. It like tries and it doesn't totally make a fool of itself, but it kind of does. It's fine. Also, we have Peter O'Toole up in there, who is the English representation on the island.
Of
like,
course.
Because, you know, of course, like a lot of those islands, England, quote unquote, owns it.
Yep.
But yeah, so all of our favorites band together and they try to make Club Paradise a destination by kind of like faking all these reviews and faking this like really great pamphlet. And then so we get our first group of tourists who come and, of course, do not get what they're expecting because the place is kind of falling down. There's no showers.
They're not used to roughing it.
People are getting lost in the woods. And when they go parasailing, they're flying off into the distance. Lots of gags, you know. It also has a really young Eugene Levy and Rick Moranis in it as these like brothers from New York who are just trying to get laid. They're kind of the best part of the movie.
Yeah,
they're
totally
very funny. It was totally cute. It was very cute. It was directed by Harold Ramis,
Ghostbusters. Yeah.
I didn't look up who it was written by, but you know, so it's very much a a comedy of that era.
Sounds fun.
It's cute.
Yeah,
it's totally cute.
I'd like to watch it. Sounds great.
It's pretty precious. Again, it like gets a little weird when they try to be like. Like Robin Williams is like, Jimmy Cliff, no, don't start a workers' revolution. Like let's not have violence.
It's like, well, but what if he did though?
But what if we did? So it's like simultaneously a working class revolution and a revolution against like the local government that wants to sell it off. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, in the exciting final moment where we have like the two, for lack of a better word, armies of like the good guys and the bad guys, you know, Peter O'Toole's like marching in with the good guys on horseback in his like silly British outfit.
So good. Incredible.
Yeah. So, you know, really precious, definitely a cute family comedy. It's nice to see Jimmy Cliff as always. And of course he plays great music in it. Lots of Rasta jokes and weed jokes, which, you know,
well,
it's a movie from 1986, but it could have done worse. So
it's true. It's true. It's always a pleasant surprise when you're like, well, at least they didn't go that far.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say it's no Captain Ron, which somehow just like managed to skirt
Captain
all
Ron?
Of that entirely.
An incredible film. Also a great Life's a Beach movie.
Really good Life's a Beach movie.
All about I'm just going to pivot to Captain Ron. I didn't watch it for the show, but I just want to talk about it.
Please
a little
pivot
bit.
Pivot to Captain Ron because we have to talk about Captain Ron.
We have
Ron.
To. Amanda and I recently it's not the right word. It was like a year ago.
Yeah.
We both watched Captain Ron. Oh no, had you seen it before?
No, I'd never
seen
it.
Okay, yeah. We both watched it for the first time with our friends of the show, Chuck and Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars Kurt Russell as the titular Captain Ron. He is a somewhat mysterious and silly man who lives on a boat, which is chartered by Martin Short and his family because he like got a bunch of money and wanted.
Well,
I don't remember why.
Martin Short and his like little suburbanite family, they want to get some excitement in their lives.
Right.
I think this is how it happens. So they buy a beat up boat, or they find out they inherit it.
Something. I think it's something like that.
And they fix it up, but all they need is a captain.
Yep. And who should it be but Kurt Russell with an eye patch and tiny little shorts here to help them on their way.
And, you know, the family learns how to loosen up a little bit, have a good time, truly understand that life's a beach.
It's true. Oh, God, what a great one.
Yeah. So highly recommend Captain Ron. I can recommend Captain Ron before Club Paradise, but if you want a double feature, it's not a bad idea.
No, totally.
Obviously, it's great to see Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like a little bit dialed back. Like, there's a couple classic Robin moments.
Yeah, totally.
But
he's not going full like
well done. Yeah. You know, like his weird silly jokes. Again, young Eugene Levy and Rick Moranis just like trying to get ladies.
So good.
Trying to like find weed so they can like hook up with these chicks who are like, do you have any weed?
Oh, it's great. The,
good stuff.
A thing that's really fun about this theme is that it's just the movies are just fun. Like life is a beach for us also when we get to watch our beach movies.
Yeah.
As I was saying, I took the theme in a slightly different direction. I didn't mean to, it just happened to me.
Yeah.
I also watched two movies with the word island in the title.
Let's hear it.
And the first one I'm just gonna start with because it feels like a good analog to Club Paradise.
Yeah.
I watched the 2020 version of Fantasy Island.
Oh, which hell yeah.
You got a little tease of earlier accidentally when I mentioned it at work and forgot that I wasn't supposed to say it out loud.
I had no idea.
I know. I felt like I played it off really well, so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
The great news is I have no notes about Fantasy Island, so I'm just going to talk about it like off the cuff.
Please do.
It's a movie from 2020. It's one of the last trailers I saw before COVID. I like remember it being like, I can't wait to see Fantasy Island, and then, you know, things changed. But it's it's like the TV show from the 70s, and that it is about a bunch of people on an island. However, on this island, it's a group of people all show up on an airplane ready to be given their wildest fantasies. Each of them is told that their fantasy will begin at any moment now that they've entered the island. And the only rules are that you only get one fantasy and you have to let it play out all the way to the end.
Oh, yeah.
And so we quickly learn, as we start to watch these people experience their fantasies, that there's something a little magical about this island. And maybe those fantasies aren't going to be as good as we wanted them to be.
No.
Because it turns out it's technically a horror movie, although it's not very scary. And it's also not very funny. And I have to say, I did not care for Fantasy Island.
I haven't seen it since it first came out, so... And I've never watched the original Fantasy Island TV show.
I've like seen clips from it, but like not. I've never watched it. It was just like I wanted it. I knew it was going to be bad because it's really badly reviewed. But I was like, no, maybe it's going to be fun because the trailer looked so fun. But then
I kind of had fun, but I can't remember what happens in it.
Very good time. I think I wanted it to be like scarier and grosser, and it was just like. Everybody's fantasies are just like kind of bad, and then they realize that the island is powered by a magical stone that they have to destroy. I gotta be honest with you, wasn't paying very close attention to the last 20 minutes of this movie, so the conclusion not strong in my mind.
That's all right.
But yeah, it's like basically you're introduced to this cast of characters, all of whom have a mysterious secret, and that's like part of their fantasy is that like. There's similar to the Rick Moranis and Eugene Levy. There's these two brothers who have come to the island and their fantasy is just to go to like a crazy party and like, you know, have a bunch of sex with hot people and like do a bunch of drugs, like basically live like rich and famous people. Which is very cute. And I kind of liked them the most, even though there was also some like weird kind of, it had some weird bad energy, but
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. But then the way that their fantasy curdles is that it's in the magic of the island. This is part of the problem, so it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
In the magic of the island, they're in somebody's real mansion, and these like real, not real people, but they're people that are animated by the magic of the island come to kill them because they have taken over this mansion that doesn't belong to them. So like the fantasy continues in this bad way where it's like, oh, you're living like a rich and famous person, but you're also in danger like rich and famous people are, as though you have stolen all of these things. And so each one of them kind of, here's my problem with it, is that it's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like everybody's fantasy goes wrong in a different way, but like it doesn't make any sense, which I can always like, I can check my sense at the door easily.
No,
as you
don't
know.
Need to do that for the Fantasy Island.
But this
remake.
One, it just didn't work for me because I was just like, I want everybody's fantasies to go wrong because that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But like the magic logic just like doesn't work because so it's like the brothers have this thing where these like guys come to kill them. And then there's this other woman who, her fantasy is to like go back in time and say yes to a man who proposed to her instead of saying no, and that would change her whole life. And so like she gets to do that, and then like her husband and like her 5-year-old daughter that she would have had if she'd said yes are suddenly with her on the island, and like, but she realizes it's bad, so then she changes her mind and like doesn't get punished for it. It's this weird, there's so little consistency to it, and also none of the characters are compelling, and also it's not very scary.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I wish this was better.
What is the name of the character in the original Fantasy Island that like spots the plane?
Tattoo.
And we get a little tattoo drop at the end.
It's true. And I actually really did not care for it. I thought it was so whack. It just felt really, it's just like, okay, so the movie is mostly white people. And then you have Jimmy O Yang, who plays one of the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like, like shorter, like kind of thin Asian man, and he's like kind of put into these weird, this is what I was talking about with like the brothers, I liked them, but then there was kind of this vibe that made me uncomfortable where like he's really like it feels like he's really like taken to this place where he is like a caricature of a person.
Yeah.
Like he's really anodyne, like, and has like no sexuality whatsoever.
They're like making an Asian joke.
Yeah, it feels really weird. And then like he's the one who is like tattoo at the end.
Yeah.
And he's like shorter than everybody else.
Yep.
And just like has this really gross vibe where I'm like, you're trying to like nod towards it, but you're doing it in this way that feels really gross.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I found Fantasy Island distasteful.
Oh my God, I'm picturing that in writing in my mind. Yeah, I mean, I watched it when it came out, or like when it came out on streaming, with somebody who grew up with the original show, and they were like, yeah, this is stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. It just felt really,
the
like
the original show was weird.
Right, totally. Like, which is like, I have no feelings about the original show at all. I've never really seen it.
I haven't either.
But yeah, it just felt like this weird, it just felt like a really weird choice to be like, okay, we're gonna like take the one like kind of diminutive Asian man and like make him like the butt of this joke multiple times.
Or yeah, it's just really like, weird.
Feels bad.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
It feels pretty bad.
Doesn't feel good.
Fantasy Island, I would say skip it. I like, people kept telling me that it was really bad, but I was like, I'm going to watch it anyway.
Because it's fun to watch bad movies.
It's fun to watch bad movies, but it definitely wasn't like bad in a fun way. It was bad in kind of a boring way.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. But, you know, it is what it is. It's the great news is it's only streaming on Stars, so...
Did you do a Stars trial?
I didn't. No, I definitely would never steal a car, and I also would never steal a movie, but I didn't watch it on Stars.
Wow, okay, yeah, boo. We're not watching Fantasy
I'm
Island.
I'm so sorry. That's my review of it. It's not very good. But
what did you say? I didn't care. I found Fantasy Island distasteful. Fantasy Island in parentheticals 2020.
2020, distasteful. But I did, I liked it as a candidate for Life's a Beach because it's like, okay, like we're literally... we're dreaming of our perfect life, and it's on the fantasy island. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like such a perfect candidate for it because it's not just about like beach life. It's like, life's a beach, baby.
Yeah.
I feel like I sound like an idiot.
No, that's okay. It's because we've been chilling on the beach for a long
it's
time.
It's true, baby. We're sun burned
when you bake away in the sun.
It's true, and it's lovely.
You live the beach life.
Happy to be here.
I watched perhaps the ultimate movie,
yes,
or one of the ultimate movies for this theme.
Yes.
I watched 2019's The Beach Bum.
Oh, yes. I do remember The Beach Bum.
I didn't
out.
See it when it came out.
Me neither.
It's a Harmony Korine movie. For those of you who don't know, who like got his fame from Gummo and Kids and Julian Donkey Boy and stuff. He's like,
I think Spring Breakers is probably his most famous movie.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. But he came up with those ones I just mentioned. And, like, he's kind of, like, you know, like, divisive, like, young man director. Like, people love him. People hate him.
Yeah, totally.
Likes to make a splash. But ultimately, like, I think a lot of his themes are about, directionlessness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
So The Beach Bum stars Matthew McConaughey and Isla Fisher and Snoop Dogg. And it's about a man named Moondog, who is a no relation to the real life musician Moondog, who just truly beach bums his way around Florida, partying and having sex with lots of ladies and doing truly whatever this dude wants to do. He's a poet, and he clearly like had a lot of fame in his younger career, but he hasn't written anything or completed anything in many, many years. His wife is Isla Fisher, who loves him for exactly who he is, and that's actually a very sweet part of the movie.
That is sweet.
She like doesn't care at all that he like, you know, is the beach bum.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't care about the other women he sleeps with. She's having an affair with Snoop Dogg's character, who's, I think he's also a musician in the movie, but we don't see him perform. But his character's name is Lingerie.
Yes, that rules.
And she is super, super rich. Mm-hmm. So that's where his money comes from, is he doesn't have any more royalties from his writing. The money all comes from Minnie, his wife, who on the, they have a, like a daughter who we're told that she's pretty young, but she's clearly an adult. So maybe she's like young 20s. But after their daughter's wedding, their daughter's kind of like the straight man. Like, she's, you know, her parents are like crazy partiers, and she's just like marrying this flub of a dude. So after their daughter's wedding, they, Minnie and Moondog get into a car crash and Minnie dies, unfortunately.
Oh,
it's
no.
very sad. I know, spoilers. And after her death, Moondog finds out that, like, you know, half of all of her fortune, like one half goes to the daughter and the other half goes to him. But he is not, she wrote it in her will that he is not allowed to have it until he finishes his next novel.
Whoa.
And thus ensues, like, just this goofy adventure. Again, like a lot of Harmony Korine movies, technically speaking, it doesn't really, quote unquote, go anywhere.
Right, totally. it's vibes.
But yeah, like, so he gets in trouble because he's always getting in trouble because he's always partying really hard. And he has to, he's ordered to go to prison or rehab. So he goes to rehab where he meets Zac Efron. This is just like a tiny piece of it, but I found it funny because, like, isn't the chick from High School Musical in Spring Breakers?
Oh, yes, I think so. Yeah. Or it definitely, like,
yeah,
it feels
she is.
Like it, yeah.
And so then Harmony Korine got the other star of High School Musical.
So charming. Totally.
The next beach movie that he made.
The Korinification of Disney stars.
Yeah, exactly. And Zac Efron's not in it for that long, or at least it doesn't feel that long, but he's, like, a preacher's son who's, like, an absolute psycho. Who, like, does horrible things. And he's like, but isn't it great? Because God forgives us. God forgives all of us. They, like, rob an old man.
Oh,
and he's
God.
Like, but isn't God,
God
so
forgives,
great?
Though. God's so great, though.
But, yeah, they break out of rehab. And, you know, Moondog, who basically, like, before he lost all his money, he was a loser, but he had a lot of money. So it was just, like, fun life. Mm-hmm. And then once all the money's gone, it really, you're just like, oh, you're just... you're a loser.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I kind of dig your philosophy on life, but you're...
it's, you can only do that life when you've got a real big cushion.
Exactly. So, yeah, he's, you know, he's going down the drain and then basically, like, finds Lingerie again, Snoop Dogg's character, who hides him out from the cops for a while and gives him a bunch of this, like, insane magical weed and, Moondog goes back to Key West where he loves it best and he just gets to, like, hang out with his Cuban maid who he's best friends with and, like, sleep with hot chicas and hang out on a boat and he finishes his novel and wins a Pulitzer Prize.
Incredible.
Yeah, like, I do like that when it goes down the toilet, it also, like, goes into really just, like, totally off the rails.
Yeah, like surreal almost. Yeah.
At one point he meets up with his friend who's played by Martin Lawrence, whose name is Captain Whack, who runs like the shoddiest dolphin tour and is obsessed with dolphins.
Oh my God. Very good.
And jumps in the water into what he thinks is a bunch of dolphins, but it's sharks, and gets his foot bitten off.
No.
Just like totally insane.
Really good.
So I was totally entertained by The Beach Bum. It didn't do that well. It's apparently one of Matthew McConaughey's, like, lowest earning movies ever.
Interesting.
Even though it's, like, clearly Matthew McConaughey's in it as almost, like, ultimate, like, alchemically distilled Matthew McConaughey energy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I agree with the general masses in that, like, it's not great. I haven't seen Spring Breakers since it came out, but I've been dying to rewatch it because I didn't love it. And then everyone I know since has been like, no, it's great.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably Spring Breakers is definitely far better than The Beach Bum, even though I don't have fond memories of Spring Breakers. But, you know, I don't know. It was fun. It did have kind of like, fun, colorful, tropical Wolf of Wall Street guy energy to it, where, like, it's a little bit hard to root for him because he's kind of a bad person and he's a schmuck. But other than the time when they rob the old man, he doesn't really do anything too terrible. Like, again, his wife is in support of everything he does.
She's
and
like,
it's just like, whatever, you're a genius.
Live your life, baby.
And I will say, the couple times he reads a poem that he writes twice in the movie, and it's actually so beautiful.
Oh, that's nice. It's rare for that to be. Like, I feel like writing and art in movies is always really bad.
Yeah.
So it's always, like, really, it's pretty thrilling when they cite a poem or something, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good, actually.
It's very much, like, of a certain era of poetry. Like, totally. Very much it's not avant-garde poetry, but it's very contemporary, like, hippie poetry.
Yeah.
But yeah, the couple times where he like goes off and like, you know, speaks poetically or reads a poem, it is really beautiful.
I mean, he's a Pulitzer Prize winning author, so.
I know. But yeah, whereas like, you know, The Wolf of Wall Street.
He's just a scumbag.
Yeah, you're supposed to feel that way, but people saw that movie and were like, this guy's badass. Like,
so crazy.
I feel like that line is even fuzzier for this, where you're like, this guy's life is really fun. And it's not that you're necessarily, like, I don't think you're supposed to think that it's bad. You're definitely supposed to be like, he is a beach bum.
Right.
Like, he's a bum.
It's like a gray area where it's like, he's not a bad person. He's just like, you know.
But he like,
he's like, it's enviable, but he's also like a mess.
Yeah.
I assume. So it's just like.
Well, it's complete like bacchanalia.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
But, you know, his like life philosophy is like, I just like to have fun, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just.
Hey.
I like drinking and smoking weed and hanging out with beautiful women. And oh, also Jimmy Buffett's in the movie.
Oh, God. Gotta watch Beach Bum.
I meant to lead with that, but he's in it like multiple times.
Oh, that rules. I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The embodiment of life's beach.
Yeah, exactly. And it has a great soundtrack, which is all like there's several Jimmy Buffett songs on. It actually opens with one of me and my mom's favorite Jimmy Buffett songs, A Pirate Looks at 40, which is perfect for it because it is about somebody who like isn't growing up. And
it's true. The like aging, there's something really interesting about like the aging hedonist where it's like, okay, where do we go from here? Like you can do it for a pretty long time when you're young, especially when you're married to Isla Fisher and just got a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like you get to a crossroads and it's like, how do I continue to live this way?
Yeah.
And be myself, but also... like eventually you must grow up, you have no choice,
and he's gonna do it. That's the like kind of fantasy of it, is that he never has to, like,
right,
it
totally.
Ends with he gets the money because he finished the novel, which is called The Beach Bum,
yes,
or The Book of Poems, and wins a Pulitzer Prize, and then he's able to access his inheritance from his wife, and he tells the lawyer, he's like, okay, just buy me a huge sailboat with it and then put the rest of all the money in cash on the sailboat.
Oh my God.
He gets the money, the cash and the sailboat, and he's like, let's have a massive fireworks show for Minnie. And he's on the boat shooting off fireworks and he lights the money on fire and the boat explodes and everyone thinks he's dead and there's money raining from the sky and everyone's getting cash. And then, you know, he's back, leaving the explosion back in his like little tiny schooner, schooner,
dinghy,
yeah, his little dinghy,
yeah,
you know, back where he was. And
it's like the cycle continues, baby. He doesn't need it. Yeah,
he lit that money on fire on purpose.
Yeah. Wow. Honestly, so, I remember when it came out being like, this feels like it's just going to be like Spring Breakers again. Like, I don't know why I felt that way. Just something about the energy of like the advertising for it.
Oh, definitely.
And so I never ended up seeing it. But hearing this description actually makes me really want to watch it. It sounds really interesting.
I thought it was going to be way more boring
than
it was. Because also the trailers didn't do much.
Yeah, totally.
The trailers really rode on it being Matthew McConaughey partying. They were like,
totally.
You love this guy.
That's all I thought it was.
You love him because he's like a like stoned out party boy.
Totally.
Like, see him in like his most McConaughey role.
Yeah.
And that's all it was
totally.
Basically him being like a goofball beach guy.
Yeah.
Which it is, but there's actually a little bit of plot.
Yeah.
It's pretty loose and pretty rambling, and that's like why it didn't do that well.
Yeah, totally.
I remember thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, it's like a sillier Spring Breakers,
totally.
And it kind of is, but
yeah.
It was fun. It was, I don't know. I enjoyed myself. Again, kind of confusing, like kind of hard to love Moondog, kind of hard to back his choices and his life philosophy, yeah. But am I just jealous? I don't know.
Right. What if?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's also, I've been meaning to rewatch Spring Breakers also because it's the 10th anniversary of it, which
that's
is
so wild.
Crazy.
That's really wild. Yeah. That's really, really wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to rewatch it.
Yeah,
too.
Totally.
Yep.
Get back in there.
Exactly.
Okay, I only watched one other movie, but I'm going to tell you about it.
Please do.
It's from the year 2005. It's a movie called The Island.
Wow, I caught a little bit of this movie the other day on regular old TV.
Oh my God, they knew. They felt it.
Yeah.
They felt that life's a beach.
Tell me and our good listeners all about The Island.
Well, so here's the thing.
It's a Michael Bay movie, right?
It's a Michael Bay movie from 2005. So it looks exactly the way you think it will look. It's a lot of orange. It's a lot of turquoise. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of high contrast. Mm-hmm. So I remember when it came out, like really wanting to see it and being like, oh, that looks really good.
Oh, same.
But we never rented it. I think maybe I was like, I think I was kind of in my like too cool era. So I didn't want anybody to know that I wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. Kind of one of those maybe is what happened. But luckily, Josh, my partner, reminded me of the existence of The Island the other night. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to watch it right now for Life's a Beach. Tragically, The Island does not manifest in the movie The Island.
No.
Because I did not know what the plot of The Island was.
Yeah.
However, I do think it fits into Life's a Beach because it is also kind of about the fantasy of beach life, you know?
Yeah.
Let me take you there. Come with me.
I'm following along. I'm ready.
Come with me. Okay. So it's a movie from 2005 starring Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson. Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson are both people who live in this facility where everybody wears white outfits and they all are like bioscanned every morning for their health, and they're all like, they eat in a little cafeteria, everybody's segregated by gender, and they do their little jobs where they like put little needles into pipettes, and they don't know why they're doing it, but they do it every day. They do not know what their pasts are. They just know how long they've been in the facility. So Ewan McGregor has been there for 3 years. And he works with some other guys. One, like the youngest one's only been there for a couple days, and then another one's been there for another couple years. But they don't really know much about each other. But they don't really care because they are like living their nice little lives. They get to eat their little food. And every night, a lottery happens. And if you win the lottery, you get sent to the island.
Ooh,
a beautiful tropical island, because nobody's allowed outside because there's been a contamination on the earth. Uh-huh. And so if you go outside, you'll get sick. And everyone who's inside of the facility was rescued and decontaminated. And so they're really safe inside there. But if you win the lottery, you get to go to the island and you get to breathe the air again. And it's so nice. But there's only one winner every night. So Ewan McGregor also is friends with a guy who works in the, like, I don't know, he's in like a weird industrial part, played by Steve Buscemi, who clearly has more information than everybody else who lives in the facility, because he says things that refer to the outside world. And Ewan's like, what is that? And he's like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
So one day while he's hanging out with Steve Buscemi, he sees a bug that comes in through the vent, and he's like, whoa, that's crazy. And he catches it, but then he, you know, he realizes that the bug is a lot like himself, trapped. And so he goes to release the bug, but accidentally finds himself in another floor of the facility where he witnesses a woman who was meant to be going to the island be murdered by the doctors who work in the facility. And then another guy who also won the lottery to go to the island try to escape from surgery where he was also going to have his organs harvested and he was going to be killed, because it turns out the facility is actually full of clones
for rich people.
for organs. You get to buy, it's $5 million, and you get to buy yourself a clone that looks and is exactly the same as you, but supposedly has no feelings, and you get to just harvest their organs whenever you want.
Yep. Great, great, great.
And so Ewan McGregor figures this out just as Scarlett Johansson wins the lottery. And they have been friends for as long as they've been there, but they don't kiss because they don't do that in the facility. No. No. But he knows that he really cares about her, so he decides to run away and take her with him. So the two of them then escape the facility. And the rest of the movie, less interesting. The beginning's so fun.
Yeah,
and
I'm
then
sure.
The rest is kind of like, as soon as they're out of the facility, I'm like, let's go back. I want to go back. It was so fun in there.
Fun.
It was more fun in there.
The only part I've seen is when they're out of the facility.
Yeah.
Already.
And so the two of them, it's like, it's very Michael Bay. Then they like get involved in a bunch of different types of car chases over and over again.
Scarlett Johansson doesn't know a lick of anything.
She doesn't. Well, that's what's really fun is that they're both really like baffled the whole time. Like it's a really fun character trait where like they're both really confused and they're like outside of the facility and they're like, what is that? It's like, it's,
they're like children.
They're like children. They have, I mean, they have, they, like, in the movie, they're described as being educated to the age of 15, but, like, with no, like, sex drive or anything. Yeah. So they are, like, they're basically, like, kids. But it's really fun because they're so, it's such a, like, fish out of water story once they're out of the facility and they're, like, interacting with regular people in the world. Because nobody knows about this except for the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
And the rich people think that the clones are just, like, people in a vegetative state. They don't think that they are, like, alive or have any thoughts or feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they do, because, like, they're just clones of people.
They're just people.
They get grown in, like, funny little bags, but then, but then they're turned into regular people.
They're regular people the whole time.
But it's really fun. Steve Buscemi's character is also super fun. Like, he's kind of sleazy, but he really wants to help them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, there's this other, like, a great scene towards the end where they're both looking for the people, their sponsors. Like, that's what they call the people whose clones they are of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go looking for Ewan's clone, and they find him. And there's a very fun, like, bit of scenery where the two Ewans play against each other.
Ooh.
And we have to do a body switcheroo, of course, because
of course.
Ultimately we have to go back to the facility and free everybody and tell the world about what's going on in there. Like, that's obviously the point.
Yeah.
The reason why I think it's a Life's a Beach movie.
Bring it home, baby. Bring it home.
Is because their whole reason for living is trying to get to the island.
Oh.
And it's like they're just trying to... all they want is to live. It's like all these poor people in this facility... they just want the chance to be a person and have that beautiful beach life on the island, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we never get to see the island, but the island is always with them. They carry it in their hearts everywhere they go.
Jenny, what are you, Moondog?
I'm Moondog, baby. Give me a Pulitzer. But yeah, the island absolutely slapped, other than...
oh my God,
it's like,
I didn't think you were going to say that.
Slapped. I really liked the island. I wish that there were fewer chase scenes and like a little more time in the facility and a little less time outside of the world. But I had so much fun. It was such a great and exciting moment for me to watch what 14-year-old me had wanted to watch so bad.
I know. I remember also wanting to watch it so bad, and all I got to see was like one little Buscemi scene where his girlfriend's Shawnee Smith.
I was just about to. I was just looking at my notes, and I just wrote in all caps, Shawnee Smith.
Shawnee Smith is here.
Of Saw.
Yep.
The Saw franchise.
Of Amanda from Saw.
Yeah. The other thing is that it does take place in the year 2019, and in 2019 we have hover Amtrak trains. So I'm just like wondering when that's gonna happen.
Amtrak,
if we could please
get that.
There's also like some classic Michael Bay sexism, like of course. It's gonna be in there.
Well, they made Scarlett Johansson like extra idiot.
I think
from
she's
the bit that I saw, she's like extra. I don't know what's going
the
on.
The stuff with Steve Buscemi is like the worst that she seems. And the rest of the movie, she has much more. She's actually a little more capable than Ewan for parts of it. But yeah, it's definitely not. It's not a flattering portrayal, I would say.
No.
But I do really like, I mean, it's just really fun. It has that same kind of like dystopian, like, aesthetic as Minority Report, kind of like, especially in the facility, like everything's like white and but everything's also really shiny. There's like a really fun, the very beginning rules, like there's this really cool dream sequence, like it's what the movie opens with, where Ewan McGregor is dreaming that he's on a boat with Scarlett Johansson, and like he's trying to get off of the boat and it like he gets like pulled underwater by like these scary looking men, and then the dream like transitions back to like the real world by he's like lying in his bed But all of this water like flows away from it all of a sudden, and it looks like it's all like shot in one where like they actually, I don't know if they actually did, but it looks like they flooded a room full of water.
Oh, wow.
And it like drifts away from him all of a sudden, and then he's just in his bed. Wow. And it's like a very beautiful shot.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, the island. Bay. What are we doing?
Bayhem.
And then there's not much more of that after that, but
yeah.
But it opens with a bang, and it really worked for me.
And like choosing Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson is so funny too, because they're such pretty people. It's like such yeah. a like Adam and Eve,
yeah,
like
totally.
Perfection vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, and they're both like famous, like in the plot of the movie too, because like Scarlett Johansson, their sponsors, like Scarlett Johansson sponsors like a model and an actress, of course.
Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor's sponsor is like a race car driver who also designs boats. That's his thing.
I mean, I can see wanting like extra organs at the ready for
yeah, totally.
having a dangerous job,
oh,
like
yeah.
a race car driver.
Absolutely. But yeah, I really enjoyed the island. It's also streaming free like everywhere. Like it's free on YouTube.
Hell,
it's free
yeah.
on Pluto.
All right. I know what I'm watching tonight.
Yeah, I gotta say, I really enjoyed it.
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, those were my Life's a Beach movie. You know, two movies about the beach in your mind.
Yep, exactly. We talked before we started the show how like this is such a fun theme for watching. Often not a lot to talk about.
No. Very somewhat empty movies,
you know,
ultimately.
I didn't go to film school. I don't know how to really wax about a movie where nothing much happens but people chilling, which is the stuff that I watched.
I mean, same. I feel like that's kind of the vibe of Life's a Beach, is that it's like, don't think about it too hard, baby. Life's a beach. We're yeah. just hanging out here on the sand.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be deep.
I can tell you a little bit more about the Magic Island.
Tell me a little bit about the Magic Island.
Okay. The main boy, what's his name? I don't know. He's a classic 90s kid. He's mm-hmm. got the classic 90s cut. You know, he's like real blonde with the middle part.
Yes, of course. It's what you were describing earlier kind of reminded me of when you told me about the Pagemaster.
Yes.
Does it feel similar to that?
It feels similar to that, except the Pagemaster is way better.
Oh, weird.
And also mostly it's like
animated.
One of those ones that goes from live action to animation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is so little about this movie out there, because I didn't realize that it went directly to video, which makes a lot of sense, because it feels like a direct to video movie. And then I remember after looking up stuff about this, I was like, oh yeah, I watched a lot of direct to video movies as a kid. Like, I watched a lot of low-budget stuff.
Were you, like, renting them from the library or something?
I don't know. Mommy was doing it.
Mommy, Sheila, what's going on here?
The Great Panda Adventure, a movie called Alaska with Thora Birch in it.
Oh, my God.
The Giant of Thunder Mountain.
Is this where Prancer came from, too? Or was
no,
Prancer
is, like, big.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Jesus.
So sorry. So sorry.
Dude. oh, God, what's his name? Okay, Jack Carlisle. So when he lands on the Magic Island, mm-hmm. gets sucked into the book.
Yep.
He's with a band of merry swashbucklers.
Of course.
Looking for treasure. It's like a hot prince and this hot lady who's the best swords person in all of Ireland.
Ooh, love that. Wow, gender equity.
Yeah, and this big, like, strong... what is he? He's also really good at swords. I was like, is he magic? I don't know. He's like, he's a big Caribbean dude who we find out at the very end of the movie, his wife, that he's like, you're going to love my wife, Mad Jack, once you meet her. And it's the ancestor of the nanny who sent
Aww.
Him on this adventure. But there's some fun, like, claymation in it, and he meets a mermaid. And they, like, kiss a little bit.
So
remember, like,
cute.
In movies when, like, kids kissed?
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's so weird.
Really, we're like, really, like, doing that for a while.
Yeah, we were doing, like, romantic lips kisses for
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, totally.
So we had a romantic lips kiss for kids. Yeah, they call him Mad Jack, because that's what he calls himself. Mm-hmm. And they're like, who are you? And they think he's magical.
Because
he has
fun.
This book that writes itself as Ooh. The story happens.
That's really cool.
And they're trying to get to the treasure before Blackbeard.
I was
going to
say,
pirate.
It sounds very piratey. Yeah.
Yeah, Blackbeard's there.
Nassau. Yeah.
He's trying to get the treasure.
Mm-hmm. Delightful.
I So as you know, I've been rewatching Lost to talk about Island, Life's a Beach.
Yeah, for real, Life's a Beach.
The guy that plays Blackbeard is like the guy with the eye patch in Lost, which I haven't gotten to that season yet.
Oh, yeah. No, I know who you're talking about.
It's like the only actor that anyone knows in this.
He's got, I mean, he's got a type.
Yeah, yeah.
An island type.
Isaac Hayes does voice like tiki head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Damn. Okay, well, I think that's all I have to say.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, so of all the many types of beaches in the world, if you had to retire to one like the beach bum, which type of beach would you like to be? Like white sand beach, black sand beach, Caribbean, like Maine, coastal Maine.
Oh, wow, Jenny, that's like, an amazing question. We're definitely going Caribbean for me, because I know the humidity is hard in the tropics, but when you're by the water, it matters not.
So nice, yeah.
The color of that water is just, like, unreal.
Oh, so beautiful.
And, yeah, so I'm talking white sand, or honestly, some of those beaches have pink sand.
Yeah.
Because of the coral.
Ooh.
So I'm going to go there. Honestly, like, wouldn't mind moondogging it.
Yeah.
he, like, in the... So when he's... I guess Minnie, his wife, lives in Miami. Yeah. And he spends most of his time in the Keys.
Nice.
In Key West.
Yeah.
And he like hangs out on this boat that has like hammocks hanging off the side and like a bed on top of it.
So nice.
It's he's moondog. Has a nice life.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, so like when he goes back to Minnie, he just like drives his little motorboat like across the water over to Miami. It's really sweet.
So cute. Here I come, baby.
Let me tell you a little bit about Zac Efron's outfit.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, my God.
So it is like kind of a James Franco character, like trickle down style wise. Mm-hmm. But he's, again, like he's a preacher's son.
Right.
And he's wearing like JNCO style jeans. And he has a beard shaved into like notches, almost like Vanilla Ice's
slats.
Eyebrow.
Yeah.
And he wears like a Bluetooth earpiece. And there's a couple scenes of him like doing like Heely. Like he wears like Heely.
Oh my God.
Like in the rehab center, yes, like Heelying around.
That's the thing, is that Harvey Korine's really good at comedy when he's working for
it. No, he really is. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about Harmony Korine.
I know. I feel 50-50 pretty much.
I'm like, I'm sure he like sucks so bad to be around. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's like...
Ugh. Yeah, he's got bad vibes. I mean, I haven't seen enough of his movies to have like a strong opinion. I think he makes interesting movies and I respect that.
For sure.
For sure. But yeah, he seems like he's probably like kind of has gone back in person.
Yeah. He seems like a little bit of a scumbag. I like that. Like he has made such like weird art movies like Trash Humpers and like, you know, manages to make something like The Beach Bum that a lot of people see. Like, it's fun when somebody like sneaks through that way.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, he does seem like a jerk off.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know enough about him as like a person, but he has bad vibes for sure.
Yeah, he's got some bad dude vibes.
Yeah, totally.
It's yeah, like,
I don't trust him, but I'm gonna watch his movies.
Kids is a movie that I've never seen.
I've only seen parts of it. It is what it is. It's very famous for what it is.
Very famous. I feel like that's much like Darren Aronofsky's Pie. It's like, I should have seen this in high school.
Yes, exactly.
When it would like blow my mind.
Yep, totally. Now it's too late. The ship has sailed.
It's like Kids, the movie version of that really sad Immortal Technique song about the... never mind. Jenny, never mind. I can't describe it on the radio.
I'm so sorry. It's too early in the night for that.
Jenny, what about you? What kind of beach do you want to retire on?
You know, I was thinking about this a lot while you were answering, and I think it's probably a Mediterranean beach.
Oh, because that's a smart choice.
Although the Keys sounds so good to me, it's just like I imagine like July there and it makes me cry.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's some, I don't know, like some like Italian beach somewhere where I could handle the summertime. It wouldn't kill me. But I still get that, you know, that island lifestyle.
Oh my God. I know. That's a really, really good answer.
Thank you.
And I'm not, I don't really want to be in the keys. I want to be like in the BVIs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So sorry. Yeah. I was thinking about the beach bum himself.
I know.
Yeah, you're right. No. I've never been to like a Caribbean island. So that's the other thing is that if I went, I think I'd probably have a better sense. I haven't been to an Italian island either.
I know. I haven't been to an Italian island.
But I just, you know, we'll see one of these days.
As far as I know, I haven't been to the Caribbean.